Our text today is taken from Luke chapter 7, beginning with the 7th verse, and this is in the middle of the account of the centurion of Capernaum, who sends a delegation of elders out to request that the Lord would come and heal his servant and speak the word. And we are in the middle of that request spoken by these elders. "Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Let us briefly set the scene for this familiar story for us. Capernaum was a city built by the Romans especially to collect taxes along the edge of one of their borders. It was kind of in the northwest coastline of the Sea of Galilee. And as was often the case, they would put a garrison of soldiers there, large enough to make sure that the gathering of tariffs was done properly and that the money made it back to Rome and so on. This Roman centurion, we would believe then, was probably the captain and head, if you will, of this little troop of Roman soldiers. He represented an occupying force to the Jews that they hated, and yet we find that in this community, this man has received great praise from the elders because his faith and his love for the Word of God and his desire to see the true Lord of Scripture worshipped by building them a synagogue and so on. All of these things were evident to the people to such an extent that the elders from the community, on his behalf, on behalf of the army of a foreign power that they hated, but on his behalf would come and make this special request to Jesus to have this man's servant healed. They said to Jesus, "This man loves our nation and he's built us a synagogue." The centurion who sends this delegation knows that the disease of his servant is still subservient, if you will, to the power of Christ, and that Christ himself is true God who has the ability to provide this healing if he so chooses and wishes. And so that's why the request comes to him. You might say that, ironically, this Roman soldier who probably grew up a pagan, we're assuming maybe was brought to faith here, right in this community among the Jews and so on, that he demonstrates the true messianic, if you will, Christian faith. Everything in the Bible has been written for our learning, we are told. And in the same way that as you travel down a highway, there are various historic monuments that some people feel are worthy of your pause to stop and read them because they are noteworthy, so it is with our path to heaven and with the Word of God, this road on which we travel by faith. The Holy Spirit occasionally erects certain monuments and includes certain stories in Scripture that he wants us to pause and look at, that he wants us to pause and read and learn from, to appreciate not just the history of this faith that we have, but to be inspired by it as well. And here we see this wonderful monument of trust in the Lord and in the power of his gracious word. This man demonstrates such humility before Christ. He doesn't even feel that he's worthy to have the Son of God come into his house. He simply asks him to stay the word. But what confidence he expresses not only in Christ, but in the power that Christ can put into his very word, the same word that had brought this man to faith. One of the great church fathers writes this: "The faith of the believer simply clings to the word and embraces its blessings, which the word contains." And so Jesus now turns to this crowd, and if you will, he kind of turns the spotlight of attention on this man who's not even present, who's just sent this request. And he says to them, "I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Now, as much as he is highlighting and showing the strength of this man's faith, it's also a humbling statement to the Jews surrounding him. "I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." You know, there are times when the true faith in the true God and a trust in his word, there are times when that can be found in places that we just would not have expected. I remember I was doing a wedding a number of years ago. It was a very small wedding, only about 20 people at it. And one of the people there had some friends that I guess you would typically call street persons. And these rather rough-looking characters showed up at the wedding, and this one man was missing some teeth and had a long, dirty beard and filthy clothes, and he was standing in the back, and I sinfully had some thoughts about him as I came in to conduct the wedding and presented law and gospel in the sermon. And afterwards, this man came up to me, and he pulled me aside, and he said, "It sure is nice to hear about Jesus, isn't it? Sure is nice to hear about Jesus." Sometimes faith can be found in places we wouldn't expect. There are going to be some surprises when we get to heaven. "Lo, many shall come from the east and the west and sit at the feast of salvation with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the blessed, obeying the Lord's invitation." And here we have an example of that. I wonder how possibly humbled the Jews were who heard Jesus say this. They're just like us. They have the Word of God in their presence all the time. They probably grew up in families where God's Word was taught to them, and they went to the synagogue regularly, probably traveled down to the temple on Passover. They had the ordinances of God. They were the chosen race of God to bring the Messiah into the world, kind of like we are today as far as the blessings we have as well, probably in many of our Christian homes we've grown up in. But how easy is it for us sometimes to just kind of take this all for granted? And suddenly a pagan shows up, and by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit is brought to faith in the same Savior and demonstrates such a zeal and a love for that Lord. Sometimes that can be very humbling to us. It's interesting, too, in our text how our Lord Jesus, even though this man isn't even in his presence, he knows what's in his heart. He knows what's going on in this man's heart. We see that frequently throughout in the scriptures. Think of that widow standing outside the alms box, putting her tiny little coins in there, in the crowd of people. But Jesus spots her. He picks her out of the crowd. He's one of his, and he knows what's going on in her heart. We see when the man is lowered into the room, the man who is paralyzed, and all the commotion going on in that room. But Jesus knows exactly what's going on in that individual's heart. It's kind of like you imagine a mother of a teenager who has had a talk earlier in the day with her teenage daughter and knows that her daughter is struggling with great feelings of insecurity and depression and has even had some thoughts of suicide and so on. And yet that night they both go to a basketball game, and the daughter goes up into the crowd with a whole mass of teenagers and is up there with her friends kind of masking the trouble that's inside of her heart. And nobody else would know it, but the mother can look up in the crowd and knows exactly what's going on in the heart of her daughter. So it is with God. God stares down into this huge mass of humanity, and he spots the faithful. He spots his chosen children, and he sees what's going on in their hearts, in their lives, and in their minds. When you or I are struggling with a particular sin that's maybe causing us to push God away, he's well aware of that. When you and I are possibly having deep doubts about what his word says in certain places and on certain teachings and doctrines, he knows about it. When our hearts are pricked and our consciences are troubled by our sins and we realize our guilt before God and that concerns us, he sees that. He feels that and he knows that. When our hearts by his word and grace are, are brought to cherish and treasure his forgiveness in Christ and love that. He knows that. He rejoices with the angels. And when our hearts have a longing and a desire to someday get to heaven, he spots that and magnifies that in his faithful. So this man before us in our text is one of the monuments on the highway to heaven for us that God would have us pause and look at. I don't know about you, but I kind of have a mental list of various individuals from Scripture that I'd love to find out more about their life and their life story. And this man is one of them. And to think that his faith was so worth noting that God recorded it forever in the pages of Holy Writ for us and for our learning. Lord, grant me such a faith as this. Amen. Let us rise. Today we keep in our prayers one of our students, Alex Johnson, whose mother just passed away, and we'd like to pray, offer a prayer on behalf of him and the family. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have invited us to bring our petitions before you in times of trouble. We come before you today on behalf of your servant, Alex. We pray that you would be with him and the other members of his family in this time of grieving and loss. We pray that you would comfort and strengthen all of them with the wonderful truth that you lay before us in your holy word, and give all of us a longing for the wonderful hope that we have in the glorious reunion above in heaven. We pray it all in Christ's saving name. Amen.